So I felt God sharing with me that one word from Him, one word from God is more powerful than 100 books of man's knowledge, even Christian knowledge. And so this is stirring in our hearts, and it's so awesome for me when they pray and they also say, I've got a picture. We've really been trusting God to speak to us, and His language is in pictures. His language is pictures. His language is in dreams. You know, you could be hearing from God and not realize it because you just think it's just your mind. And so over time, you learn to discern the voice of God. And so one word is more powerful than 100 books of man's knowledge. And so we're trusting for an unblocking. What does it mean? A flow of God's life here in this church and in our lives, that you could go to work and you'll be sitting, negotiating a deal or speaking to a client or a customer or whatever situation, you could sit there and then God can whisper in your ear, don't take it. It's a dud. Don't go for it. Back out. And everything looks good. Everything looks wonderful. But God sees the bigger picture and He gives you that key. Step back or go for it. It doesn't look like a good deal. It's going to work. Go for it. You know, and so we need to hear the voice of God. I shared it last week that so many people are living in a life of darkness, even as believers. They're stumbling around, not sure of the will of God. And God is wanting to speak to us. God is wanting to share with us. God is wanting to reveal to us His will. So the word of God, you know, the word of the world is just clutter. It's just, as I said last week, it's just this white noise. But the word of God cuts right through that. And you know when it's the word of God. And it's more than just a scripture. It is a scripture, but with the power of God resting on it. It affects us. It shakes us. Revelation 21 speaks of this well of the water of life. And He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of water of life without payment." Somebody said that what you need in life will come to you. But what you desire, you will have to go get. What you desire, you will have to go get. And that's what I feel God is stirring in us. That where it says, the thirsty will receive. And so there's a thirst God wants to put inside of us where you say, I don't want to settle for a normal Christian experience. And when I say normal, I mean a sub-Christian experience. True Christianity is life-changing. True Christianity is exciting. True Christianity is an adventure. I was, this week I was in Cape Town, or in Stellenbosch, and I was flying back, and then there's a lady that sat next to me, and it was just amazing. She works as a physio here in the Transkei, and I said, I know a few physios and OTs and doctors and dietitians. There's probably about 20 plus people in the church. And we had a great chat, but what was amazing was God showed me a picture of her life, and I could speak into her life. And she was so touched. It was amazing to sit there and then be the voice of the living God calling this lady back to Him. And she was so receptive. It was so special. And many of us can testify how it's one thing having somebody pray for you. That's wonderful. That's amazing. But when you become a voice for the living God and you can call somebody into freedom, into salvation, into healing, into deliverance, that's amazing. Psalm 72, verse 6. It says, "He shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing." Before mowing. "Like showers that water the earth." Amazing picture. He says, "He shall come down." So God is saying, "I will come down in the form of rain." So water often speaks of God's presence. It speaks of His presence. It speaks of, and He says, "I shall come down," or "He shall come down like rain." It's a beautiful picture of bringing life. And what I feel God is doing in us as a church is like if you would see a massive dam wall, and was dam on the other side of it between these two cliffs. Then you see a trickle coming through. A trickle coming through. And I feel God is saying, we're experiencing a trickle, but I'm wanting to bring a stream of life. And that's what unblocking the wells about. But God, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for the lives you're touching. We thank you for this, the stirring on the inside of us. I don't think I've felt so alive as I have the last few weeks. Just God's presence. God's presence just awakening something on the inside of me. And you have to taste it to experience it. But God is wanting to bring a stream of living waters. And I believe worship is the key. Like we were worshiping this morning, worship is the key. There's a place where we step into the Spirit, where we lift up the song of heaven. The song of heaven, where we lift up, we join the songs of heaven. And I'll share about that in a moment, but there's this worship happening before the throne. And when you and I, you know, we start off by just singing a song, but at some stage we can join the heavenly song. And then the floodgates of heaven open up. Then the floodgates of heaven open up. God comes down like rain. And somebody had a dream that really spoke to me. He said it was the 30-second rehearsal for a profound move of God. And he saw us all like on a rehearsal stage and we practicing and Jesus is there and the leader and other guys are there and we saying like, focus, focus. There's a profound move of God coming and we need to be ready. We need to be ready. We have about 30 seconds in spiritual language. We need to really, really focus, really be ready for it. John chapter 4, verse 13 to 14. Jesus comes he goes through Samaria and he comes to a well. All his disciples have gone away. They've went to get some food and Jesus comes to the well. And then he sees there a lady, a Samaritan woman. And he speaks to her and he says to her, Jesus said to her, in verse 13, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. And what I can say to each of us, you can drink from the things of this world. You will be thirsty again. You will be thirsty again. But then Jesus says, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never, never, never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water or a well of water, welling up to eternal life. So Jesus is speaking about a well or a spring. Another word for the spring would be a well. He's speaking about a well and then he says, the water that I give you will cause this well, this spring, to spring up on the inside of you and you'll never thirst again. It's like a river of life flowing from the inside of us. That's what God wants to do, a river flowing from the inside of us. And you unblock it through worship. And as you continue to worship, that river just flows and flows and flows. Now I know this is spiritual language because you see, you and I, the spirit realm is a very, it's difficult to get a grip on what's happening in the spirit. How does it work? And so God gives us natural pictures to make sense to us. So he says, well, it's like a well, like a spring. But just spiritual. Bringing life. An unending flow of water. And then Jesus goes on. He first says, "Of when I give this to you, you'll never thirst again." And then in verse 16, Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Deep. You're a prophet, yes. I mean, it's amazing. Jesus doesn't know this woman, but he receives a word of knowledge. God, the Holy Spirit, reveals to him, this lady has had five husbands, and she's currently living with another man, but they're not married. And this has a profound effect on her. Suddenly she's listening. Suddenly she's, okay, we're working here with something else here. This is not just another Jew. This is a prophet, somebody who hears from God. And the amazing, if you read the whole story, this lady, this woman, this flips her. This word, this encounter with God flips her. It unblocks her. She awakens to her relationship with the living God. She goes to the town and she calls all the people in this, and she says, come and hear the man who told me everything about my life. And a whole town comes to Christ. A whole town. A word of knowledge. Now, a word of knowledge is connected with a word of prophecy. Last week we spoke about that. The voice from heaven. The voice that speaks into our lives. God is wanting you and me to live in a way you can walk into any situation. For instance, one of our pastors shared he went to a seminar concerning the supernatural. And he says the guy that was presenting it, he started off by saying, okay, let's before we get into the theory, let's practice. And he says, I saw a picture of a man on Tuesday sitting at his desk writing on a piece of paper. And you wrote down three questions to God. Question number one was this. Question number two was this. Question number three was something between you and your wife, a question you have for God. Then you took that piece of paper and you folded it. You took the piece of paper and you put it inside a book between pages 87 and 88. And you put it back into your sort of library. Where are you? Anyway, so the guy got up. And he had an encounter with the living God because he knew God spoke to him. God saw. That should be normal. That is God's heart for us. That should be normal Christianity. You see, you don't have to argue with somebody, is Jesus the Son of God? When you can just show that he is God. And so many of us, we operate on a level of trying to persuade people with our minds. And yes, there is a place that we talk about things like that, knowing that the Bible is trustworthy, knowing that it's not been changed over the last 2,000 years, knowing that Jesus was truly resurrected from the grave, etc., etc. There are so many evidences. But for many, evidence is not enough. They need an encounter with the living God. And I believe this is what God wants to do when we worship. You know what worship does? Worship unveils heaven. Worship unveils heaven. So when you and I start worshiping God, when we start lifting up His name, it's like we step into a place, we draw near to His throne, and then we start hearing His voice. We start hearing His voice. So that is God's heart for us. Because then Jesus first says, living water. Then He gives her a word of knowledge. It flips her life. And then just after that, He starts speaking about worship. In verse 23, John chapter 4, verse 23. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship Him. He's seeking such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. So God is seeking worshipers. Why? Why is God seeking worshipers? Not just worshipers. Why? Is He full of Himself? He just wants us to say, you're amazing, you're amazing. Yes, 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 tell me I'm amazing. No, it's so much more than that. He is amazing. Nothing can change that. But what God is looking for is worshipers, because only a worshiper can approach the throne of the living God. God is seeking relationship. 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 And you can only come as a worshiper. You can only come as a worshiper. And so King David, who wrote many of the Psalms, he was a worshiper. Even from a young boy, he was looking after the sheep. And I can imagine he was worshiping already then. He was a worshiper. But he knew things about God that nobody knew. God revealed things to him that nobody else knew. The secrets of God was revealed to him. because he was a worshiper. He could approach. He could do things that nobody else could do because he had special favor upon his life. He was a worshiper. He was a man after God's own heart. And I believe that is one of the keys of heaven. If you want to unlock the heavenlies, worship him. Like yesterday, I was dead tired after a week in Cape Town and then formal for Jesus. I was tired. And now I have to hear from the Lord. I'm like just tired and just said, I'm just gonna worship. So I think it was like from 9 o'clock, 8:30 yesterday morning until around 1. I was just putting on music and just worshiping. Not hearing anything yet. Lord, okay, we just continue worshiping. We just draw near. And then it feeds your soul. It feeds your spirit. It brings strength. And then you can go again. Worshiper, but it must be something we love to do. Psalm 27, the Psalm of David. This was a song. One of the songs that David sang. And it says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. Why should I tremble? Can you say my? Say my. David didn't worship from afar. David worshiped my light, my salvation. Many of us are still worshiping from a distance. Worshiping from a distance. Somebody had Ellen had a picture last weekend while we were worshiping. He saw a house and then he saw like a force field around the house. And then the house was like closed everywhere, but there was a force field around this house. And he felt many of us are standing outside of the force field, worshiping from afar. God is calling us inside. Inside. And so it says there, the Lord is my fortress. The Lord is my fortress. He is this force field. But when we're worshiping from afar, we are outside. We're not in a safe place, but God is wanting us to draw near, to step in, to draw near in our hearts, to step into that safe place. Worship from inside. Worship from inside. And I believe there's a call, there's an invitation for us to draw in to that place of worship. See, what's praise? Praise is declaring the greatness of God. So when you praise him, when you declare one voice, one song, Lord, you're great, you are awesome, then you're, in a sense, building a fortress. You're declaring the greatness of God. He is great, but when you declare him to be great, then he comes down and he is great for you and me. And that's why praise is so powerful. Declaration, you are my light. You are my salvation. You are my fortress. And then this fortress is built. But then you have to go beyond praise, the gates of praise. And you have to step into worship. And you enter in to a place of rest. It's a place of peace. A place of rest that God is calling us to. A place of intimacy. Intimacy. And sometimes you have to press in until you're in there. And you know when you get there. Psalm 27 verse 2. When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. They will stumble and fall when I praise my God. Praise is the most powerful form of worship, the most powerful form of spiritual warfare. It's the devil on your case. You're feeling oppressed. You're feeling heavy. There's a massive mountain, an obstacle in front of you. Stuff you're battling with. Lift up the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus. The mountains will move. The oppression will lift. Lift up the name of Jesus. There are so many powerful worship CDs these days. Amazing anointed worship. Get it. Put it on. Lift up the name of Jesus. And your mountains will move. Verse 3, though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. Interesting enough, the past week or two, I've had two dreams about break-ins. Two dreams of somebody breaking in to our house or somewhere. And last night when I was speaking to some guys, they said, well, they know of about two break-ins at some of our church members in the last week. You know, so God reveals to us things so we can pray and declare His greatness over our homes, over where we live, so that fortress can be established. I want to encourage you, please pray over your house. Just make sure. We often anoint the house, meaning we take some oil and we walk through the house and we declare, God, this is your house. This is your place. You will reign in this place. This is holy ground. I go to our vehicles. I anoint the cars. I declare there will be no destruction. There will be no accidents, etc. I'm just closing the door for anything. So I encourage you, go for it. But David says, I will not be afraid. And then verse 4, the one thing I ask of the Lord, the thing I seek most, and here's his heart, this is the heart of David, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. And I believe this house represents the throne room of God. It represents, God, one thing I seek, it's your presence. One thing I seek is to step into your throne room. And God is calling us to that place. And then in verse 6 or verse 5, for he will conceal me there when troubles come. I step into that safe place. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock when I enter in worship, when I enter in praise. And then verse 6, then I will hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. At his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. I'll offer in his sanctuary, at his sanctuary, at his throne, I will come. There's a place where worship, as we know it, the songs, changes, transcends into something truly heavenly. And we taste that every now and again, but God is calling us to that heavenly, to stepping into that place. So you need to position yourself in that place. How? Praise, worship, lift up his name. Okay, then just ending off, partner. Partner with the sounds of heaven. Revelation 4 verse 5. And from the throne, this is a picture, the apostle John was called up into the very throne room of God, and he saw this. And he says, and from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. And we spoke about that last week. There are voices flowing forth from the throne of God. Aren't you guys looking forward to aircon? Huh? Then you wouldn't be so suffering. I think I'm going to preach for another hour this morning. And we're going to send out the offering bags every 10 minutes. And I'm sure we're going to get to 40 at the end of this morning. That was a joke. But there were voices flowing from the throne of God. And when you and I draw near before that place, or the throne of God, then we start hearing the voices, the word of God, the word of knowledge, the word of prophecy. There were also lightnings going forth, meaning it represents power from that place. About 7 years ago, I received a word that really, transformed me. I've shared about it, but the person that was praying for us, she saw a picture of my wife and I standing under a waterfall. Just rivers of water just flowing down as we had our hands raised. So we were worshiping, we were praising God. And then she saw somebody outside of the waterfall in chains, bound by chains. And then she says, as we were just lifting up the name of God, the chains broke and that person joined us in the river, in the waterfall of life. That is our destiny. To enter that place of just enjoying Him, enjoying God's presence, lifting up His name. And as we do that, lives are transformed. And others join us in that river of life. Joining the sounds of heaven. Last scripture, Revelation 4, 8 to 11. Just want to read this. It shows what's happening in the throne room. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say. The worship team can come forward. That's not what they said. But they never cease to say, holy, holy. Let's read this together. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Let's read on. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who is seated on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they existed and were created. So this continues. This is continuous worship at the throne of God. Worthy are You, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. And these angels with eyes in front and eyes at the back, they were continuously saying, holy, holy, holy. And when they say that, the 24 elders fall down. They fall down. They take their crowns and they throw it down. They're showing us our God is worthy. Our God is worthy. And worship is the key. Worship is the key to step into that supernatural dimension where you step into the presence and your whole body is like, you're feeling God is here. There's nothing like it on the face of this earth. To experience that in your spirit. You see, you're a spirit being. And God is calling you and me to sing a song to the Lord, but a spiritual song. There's a song in heaven. God is inviting us to join that song. And when we join that song, the wells unblock. The wells unblock. The wells unblock. The song of the Lord. In worship, heaven is unveiled. Glory to God. I just so know that God has called us as a church to be worshipers. Not just worshipers. Our hearts cry. Hallelujah.